to switch with the preacher, okay?
You want to talk about contenders.
Hope or choice?
Somebody says something about hope and change. Well, things have changed. Steve, pick anyone you want. Dimitri. They're going to give you an overview of the whole Bible, the whole thing. First major character in the Bible, what and where?
Adam, Genesis chapter 1,
Garden of Eden.
Pick anyone you want. Michael, second major character, what and where?
Oh, that would be, Abraham?
No.
Oh, Noah. That would be Noah, Genesis chapter 6. Chapter 6, Ararat.
Ararat. Pick anyone you want.
Babel and Babylon, Genesis chapter 11.
Is that right? Pick anyone you want, Dylan.
Isaac and...
Abraham, Genesis chapter 11.
Next.
Not Moses.
You're getting there. Sit down. See what they're getting? Couple, now this one here, man, she'll rattle them off just like that. She's real. Going to have the big picture down, amen? A lot of pressure, a lot of competition. Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 6. We're going to be real elementary today, something you know, I know, but we need to hear. But before that, go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I want to show you something here, just an illustration I got out and about. It's got nothing to do with the message today, but certainly a lot to do with our lives. In the church, in the modern church architecture, etc. today, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, 7, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord on the heart. Now, we look at the Bible, we get a verse, we got three applications, doctrinal, historical, practical. We make a practical application of this verse that man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And a lot of the conclusion, many have concluded from this verse, from reading that because God looks on the heart, the outward appearance doesn't matter. I was in an establishment yesterday. You're going to get to get involved here. I was in an establishment yesterday. There was a sign on the wall. It said, no V-neck shirts, absolutely none. No tight pants, spandex, leggings, or yoga pants. No tank tops, no T-tops, no halter tops, no belly tops, no see-through, no low-cut tops, no high slits. Would anyone like to venture a guess at where I was? No. He was going to say, yes? What? A mosque? No. My house? No. You'd be surprised what you'd see before daybreak in my house. Michael? No? Wegmans? I was in the waiting room of the state penitentiary. Why would the world draw none of you said a church. Why would the world draw a different conclusion from what the church would draw? Aren't they aware of the warnings of legalism and a judgmental spirit in the Bible? Aren't they aware that God obviously doesn't look on the outward appearance, so the outward appearance doesn't matter? Is it their ignorance of Scripture or rejection of the Bible that would cause them to post such an intolerant set of rules? I mean, if it doesn't matter for saints, certainly it shouldn't matter for serial killers. Maybe convicts and Christians have something in common. Maybe the children of this world are wiser. Now, I'm not going to give the answer, but you just think about that. Why in the world would they put up a thing like that where it's nothing but criminals? If anybody should need grace, intolerance. Let's move on to the message. Exodus chapter 6. I told that lady receptionist, she goes, "Ooh, I want to hear that sermon tomorrow." I said, "Would you mind if I copied this down?" You know the story by now. We don't have to introduce again, but I do feel the need to pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people, your church, your Holy Spirit, your songs, your praise, your principles, and Lord, even signs on a wall that we can get something from and ponder. I pray you'd help us, help your people today to be a better people, a more godly people. Pray for our missionaries around this world. Right now, many of them tuning in, others already into their Monday morning, others, Lord, getting ready to preach tonight. Whatever it might be, I pray you'd meet their needs, meet the needs of their wives, their children, Lord, their physical, spiritual. Give them souls for their labors, Lord. Give them a boost today. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a verse for you, a life verse for you stay-at-home moms. Verse 9, "And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not." How's that for a life verse, ladies? "Mom spake to the children, and they hearken not. For anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage." You know by now that God's going, Moses going back and forth and back and forth with God. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in," sound familiar, "speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord." Now I'm seeing this like prayer. You got a command there, then you got a little prayer here saying, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" I can't get God's people to do something. You want me to get the heathen to respond? God says in verse 13, "The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." Moses keeps returning, and God keeps repeating. God's call for you to fill in the blank is a continuous lifetime call. I'm talking about a repeated call. Fill in the blank of what he's called you to. Is it the gospel? Is it to trust him? Is it to obey to him? Is it to step out for him? Is it to submit to him? Is it to give to him? Is it to go for him? He doesn't just, in his economy, the way he's designed this thing and the way he's designed us, and for many, many reasons that we'll talk about today, he doesn't just say it once and then forget about it. Some of these guys, my dear friend Steve over here, his dad would say, come here. I'm going to show you how to do these breaks, and I'm going to show you once, and that's all you're going to get. And then if you mess it up, you didn't listen. Listen, thank God he doesn't just tell us once and then walk away and say, perfect it. Whatever it is, his is a continuous call. And the reason is because for every call of God, there's a lot of contrary calls. So today I want to bring a message called Voices and Choices. Voices and Choices. How many have ever made a commitment to God and the commitment waned? A few of you. I mean, he called you to a higher level of fill in the blank. You heard, you were convicted, you rose to a new level, you sold out. Maybe it was soul winning, maybe it was praying, maybe it was reaching people, maybe it was submitting, maybe it was not gossiping, maybe it was giving, maybe it was participating. And next thing you know, you look at your life and you're so far many miles from that decision, you can't believe you're the same person. There was a call, but there was a contrary call. There was a voice, but you heard some other voices. Voices and choices. And by the grace of God, irregardless of your choices, since you made the right choice, he'll call you again. In fact, all our life, if we all go up in the rapture now, get this, our whole life just consists of voices and choices every second of every minute of every hour of every day. 1 Corinthians 14. I know where we are in the Bible here in 1 Corinthians 14, but I want to use this because I like the wording. 1 Corinthians 14, we'll turn to a bunch of scripture today. I always say won't be long, but 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14:10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. John chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 10, verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. We're talking about voices. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hear that sun's starting to melt that ice after a long, cold winter. Starting to roll off the roof. That's that rumbling you have to hear. I hope we can get that in our hearts today, amen. Many are called, few are chosen. Many of you are cold and a few are frozen, amen. So let's, I know it's daylight savings. When it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm like Pastor Folk. I change my clock at 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon. So I'm going to fake my body out and go to bed at 8 o'clock because I usually get up at 4 on Sunday morning and it was nothing 5. And so I, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. So I'm feeling you. I'm feeling your vibes with this. But we're going to get through. Amen? Amen? If it gets too boring, somebody just stand up and start screaming at me and walk out and then you'll catch. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I want to talk about six voices. And I'm not going to get theological, and you might come up with something else. But I want to talk about three voices that represent God. Hebrews chapter 4. The first voice is the Word of God. The first voice we have in this world, the first voice we can hearken to, the first voice is the Word of God. And you know Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. That means alive. So we're not reading Aesop's Fables. We're not reading some dead book. I read that book five times and I got five different things because it's alive. It's like a person talking to you. It says in Romans chapter 9, the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh. When did the Scripture, some pieces of paper and ink, stand up and start saying something? I'm telling you, that book is the voice of God. And powerful, powerful. You say, how powerful is it? Raised you from the spiritual dead. Turned you from a sinner to a saint. Change your destination from hell to heaven. Amen. The snow's starting to come off the roof. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's because the Word of God is the voice of God. It's alive. Does it speak to you? Or is it like reading the encyclopedia? You just get it for facts. If that's what it is, it's no wonder you don't read it. It's no wonder it doesn't motivate you. It's no wonder you gotta check off boxes on a thing and you gotta be tarred and feathered by your mom to read it. If you look at it, if you'll approach it as the voice of God Almighty, they don't have it all over the world. Job didn't have a Bible. People all over this world would give an arm for a page. I don't doubt that this morning. And we'll neglect it. The voice of the Word. The voice of the preacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll just walk through the Word this morning. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. As my mother used to say in plainer words, too smart for their own good. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Look up in 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but on us which are saved, it's the power of God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. I love this one. Don't miss this one. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, it wasn't Bibles. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Jump over to 1 Timothy 3. He's got a human element in this thing of the voice of God. And I'm careful. Don't shut me off yet. I'm not playing Jim Jones on you here. But if I tarry long, verse 15, 1 Timothy 3, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. David would, let's go to 2 Samuel 23. We're talking about hearing the voice of God today. Verse voices and choices. 2 Samuel, that's 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist. You imagine it, God talking about you like that. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, his word was in my tongue. We got too many preachers giving a lot of their own words. We want the word written and the word preached. Preach the word. Not just the voice of the word, not just the voice. When you come to church, who are you looking to hear from? I could give you a measure of what your response is when you see who's coming up here to say something. Oh, he's preaching. Joe Matichera, he was mad at you the other night, preacher. He said, I told him not to announce I was preaching. Nobody would come. How many were helped by that message Wednesday night? Woo! I said, what are you talking about, man? Every time you preach, something happens. I preach, they scream and run out. John 16. Not only the voice of the word, not only the voice of the preacher. We're here talking about hearing God's voice. John 16. I like that. Make me feel powerful. Verse 13, John 16, 13. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Voices and choices. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, a person, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Now, we have to stop right there. If you're in a church and all they're talking about the Holy Ghost this, the Holy Ghost that, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. He don't speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, God has built in these checks and balances with these threefold voices. To the Word, we have the Word. He gives gifts to the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's not a renegade thing where you just take your Bible and go out and do your thing. And I take my Bible, and we got a lot of that today. I tell you, it's a frustrating position to be the only one in the world that knows everything about God and the Bible. That's a frustrating place to be. It's a frustrating place to be a church that thinks that. You're going to search high and low, and when it's all said and done, it's the Elijah syndrome. I'm the only one left. You and 100 other renegades. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, those are sent ones, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Remember what that Ethiopian eunuch said? He had a Bible. And Philip went up there and said, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? That's the Bible. That come from the Word of God. On Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, they opened up, they read the law, and they gave the sense. That's God's plan. That's the voice of God. And he ties them together. You can't have a preacher preaching outside the Word. But you can't have the Word with a bunch of renegades strung all over without a preacher in a church. What's to check the preacher? The Word. Preach the Word. You that want to be future servants of the Lord, to preach the Word, you have to know the Word. Well, I just want to go help people. There's all kinds of organizations, satanic organizations helping people. They need the Word. There's a famine not of bread, but there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, and they're starving here, there, and yonder. Anytime a cult springs up, headed by a nut, there's common elements, two of them. Number one is no word. Number two is new word. Some guy springs up a couple hundred years ago from, of all places, Palmyra, New York. And he said, an angel appeared unto me. His name was Moroni. Right down here. You could drive there for lunch this afternoon. Right here in New York. Imagine being in a religion that started in New York. And he appeared to me and wrote on his golden tablets and said, you, Joseph, are going to be the founder of the final religion. Let's see the tablets. We lost them. He had 34 wives. 10 of them were teenagers. That's not one of the common elements I'm talking about, but if you look at these nuts, you'll find out that a little harem is part of a common element as well. Now, there was an angel in the hill Cumorah and found these tablets and gave them to Joseph. Chapter and verse, please. From where? I took a look in the old black book. What saith the scripture? The preacher can't just go off making up his own thing. Chapter and verse, please. David Koresh announces, I am Jesus Christ. Another one with a harem. And these people, meh. Somebody told me the other day, Jim Jones took a Bible. He was a nut. He's up there cursing blankety blank when he's preaching. Took the Bible, threw it across the room. You don't need that. You got me. You know what it resulted in? Death. You know what David Koresh resulted in? Death. You know what Heaven's Gate? 38 people found dead. We're going to kill ourselves because there's a comet going by and the UFOs are going to take us to heaven. They took them all straight to hell. Blind leaders of the blind. Chapter and verse, please. I'm glad I got saved in a place that people carried a Bible. You say, look at all these people. They carry that Bible because they're so spiritual? No, they carry it because they're so suspicious. And the day the man up here stops preaching this, hit the road and go find somebody that is. I'm talking about checks and balances, the voice of God. Preacher gets too heavy on himself. Where's that in the Bible? Then you got a renegade out here. He don't need no church. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in organized religion. Then you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. What if you had no word? What if you didn't bring a Bible? And I said, turn to Daniel chapter 3. I'm reading from Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. You're waiting on me to tell you what God said. And he said, he wants each and every one of you to leave your keys, if your car was worth more than $20,000, in my mailbox this afternoon. And you think it's... People do way more than that. They die. They drink poison. They sin. They kill people. They murder. They molest. Because you got a preacher with no word. God makes you. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about voices and choices. Our thing in this life, we want to hear the voice of Almighty God. So we need the word and we need a preacher that preaches the word. And you check them on that word. And in addition, let's go to Daniel 3:25. Because what if we had a new word? Got to throw this in once in a while. You ask any kid been in Sunday school more than a year who the fourth man in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's fiery furnace was, they'll tell you who it was. The NIV won't. The RSV won't. The ASV won't. Good News for Modern Man won't. The Way won't. The this and the that won't. But the old black book will. Daniel 3:25. He answered and said, you know what they're starting to do? They're starting to make changes now because we've been calling their hand for 25 years. Now you go and you go online, you look, you know, Daniel 3:25 NIV, they'll have forth like the Son of God. Then real little on the bottom, it'll say what the original Bible that they wrote to clear up the obscurities used to say. It says a son of the gods. Well, who was it? What did God say? John chapter 16. Voices and choices. I'm talking about, preacher, what are you saying? Your life will change if you will tune in to the voice of God. Amen. Tune man out. Tune paper and ink out and hear the voice of God. Tune people and personalities out and hear the voice of God as he mingles it with his word. And I already read this once, but John 16:13. Then he ties it in, so you got the word coupled with a preacher that's, Lord willing, filled with the word. And then John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself. Those guys over there in the book of Acts, it literally said, and the Spirit suffered us not to preach in Asia. You don't you desire a life that is just under the control of Almighty God? I want to hear his voice. I'm going to run over quick to a verse and read. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the, that's the Holy Ghost, which is the God's voice written, God's voice whispered through the Spirit, and God's voice witnessed through the pulpit. Now, lots of checks and balances. The Spirit without the Word is chaos. Everybody jumping around, screaming, dancing, half naked. Oh, Spirit, no Word. The Word without the Spirit is dead. Ideal situation. Spirit-filled believers that have heard the voice of God from the written Word, assembling to hear the voice of God through a Spirit-filled preacher, and I'm not saying I got it all, that's full of the Word of God. Saints hear voices and saints make choices, and everybody lives spiritually ever after. Not so fast. Because there's three competing voices. First Chronicles chapter 12. You say, that guy was hearing voices. I say, welcome to my club. First Chronicles. Samuel King's Chronicles. Just elementary this morning. That's not the verse I want. That's not the verse I want. Let me just look real quick here. And if it's not, I'll be able to quote it. Remember I tell you guys, if you run into this, 21. I've reversed my numbers, 21. 1 Chronicles 21:1. I told my guys, if you go to that verse and the scripture's not there, you better be able to know it. You know, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. And Satan, a competing voice, stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. How did he do that? How did that play out? I have no idea. I don't know. Did he hear a voice? Did he see a figure? Did he plant something in his heart? How far can he go? I don't know, but all I know is God said, I'll take care of you. I'll fight for you. Fear them not. I'm thy shield. I'll do the work for you. And Satan says, why don't you count them just so you can report in the sword of the Lord just what you've done? You remember what Genesis chapter 3, God, the voice, he heard the voice of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He heard God's voice. You can have it all. You can lead it all. You can see over it all. You can keep it. You can dress it. Just don't eat of that. Did God say that? Now that never happens to you, does it? When your mom says this is right, there's never a competing voice after she says that, is there? When the preacher says this is right, when the word says this is right, you ever heard it? Would you recognize the voice of Satan? How about the voice of self? Luke chapter 12. Voices and choices. This is what your life is. You might as well get used to it. Spiritual schizophrenics. Luke 12, verse 19. And I will say unto my soul, are you talking out loud? Are you saying to your soul, or is your soul saying to you? Deuteronomy 8. Lots of flipping going on this morning. Deuteronomy 8. It was flipping going on last week too, but a little different. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, that's a voice within, that's a voice of the flesh, that's the voice of yourself, that's the contrary part of you, that's contrary to God, that in it dwells no good thing, that we're not supposed to make provision for, and say thou in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wonderful family, or this wonderful preaching ability, or this wonderful looks, or this wonderful church, or this wonderful portfolio, or this wonderful accomplishments. There's a voice. Every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. But you sure have done a good job. Romans 10. You don't hear voices, do you? I've told myself to shut up before, and nobody had said a word. Stop it! Right out loud. Stop it! Shut up! I know that's against the rules, children, but quiet, you can say it to yourself when your heart's talking at you. Argue with that heart. I've literally been praying and find myself saying, no, 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 no. I know that doesn't happen to you all. That's one good thing about not having prayer. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to heaven? See, that heart gets a talking to you. In fact, Jesus says all those things that you do on the outside, that came from down within. I'm talking about God saying something, the Word saying something, the preacher saying something, all confirmed with the Holy Spirit, three that bear record, three that agree one in another. But there's competing voices, the voice of Satan, the voice of self, and then Deuteronomy 13, the voice of sinners. Pastor Folk been talking about this, your friends. Now you got enough enemies on the first two. Who's your biggest enemy? There's no competition. It's me. Me, myself, and I. Those are my three worst friends. Always dragging me down. I don't have to say the devil made me do it. Me made me do it. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 6. Here's the world. Here's the sinners. Sometimes it's the saints. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, look at how everybody's all encompassed here, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, not a real good friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, listen to this. Isn't it funny how sin just can't keep to itself? I doubt there's nary a person in the history of this church, I'm talking about young people, old people, they got it down. They could have everybody fooled. But young people, they can't hold that rock and roll music on that CD all by themselves. They come in and they put their spiritual antennas up. You know why they put their spiritual antennas? I mean their carnal antennas, because man looketh on the outward. And they look around and they say, there's one of me. Like magnets. And that other magnet says, ooh, there's one of me. And then next thing you know, sinners enticing thee. Contrary to the voice of mom and dad. Contrary to the voice of the scripture. Contrary to the voice of the scripture. Contrary to the voice of the preaching. Contrary to what you've grown up with. Competing voices. You know what comes after the competing voices? The choices. Proverbs chapter 1. This is just simple this morning, but we sure need it. I do. My son, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's the voice of the Father. If they say, come with us, that's the voice of the sinner, sometimes the saint. So many voices, how do you recognize them? Well, I'll tell you what, if it's the voice of God, it'll probably be harder in the short run and easier in the long run. If it's the voice of the world, flesh, and devil, it'll be easier in the short run. Immediate satisfaction. It's going to feel good, sound good, taste good, look good right now, but the end is bitter as wormwood. You know, you got to be careful when you venture into these areas of hearing the Spirit of God. I hear preachers, oh, you got to be sensitive to the Spirit. I heard James Knox say, it's funny when I hear a voice tell me something, it sounds a lot like my voice. So you got to be careful. But let me help you discern the voice. It's probably not your voice telling you to tithe. Unless you double tithe. Listen, God is not going to say, I mean, the devil's not going to say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The devil's not going to say, give that person a tract. The devil's not going to say, that's how you recognize. Now, if you're talking about, should I buy the lamb chops or the pork chops? Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? I'm not Joseph Lamb Chop. See? Voices. Let me give you a scenario. You wake up. And there's voices. That's just the way it is. And you hear a voice. That's something that's been put and planted and placed into your heart through the voice of God in His Word, through the voice of God in preaching, through the voice of God in the Spirit. I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Early will I seek thee. Sometimes the Holy Spirit even ad-libs something that you heard. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Sometimes God will use other voice. Sometimes Junior's there waiting. I thought you said we was going to start reading the Bible today. And about the time you get ready to respond to the call, there's another voice. Sure is cold outside these covers. It's got to be 64 degrees outside these covers. Listen, if you have a hard time getting out of bed, can I make a suggestion? Do not buy a heating blanket. Your flesh can't take it. Just a few, you're tired. And yeah, you did that last Netflix out of the four that you watched last night. You're never going to be productive enough at work, and the boss is not. 20 minutes will just rejuvenate you. You can catch up later. You can read your Bible later. How many of you realize most of the time you never read your Bible later? Man, I'll come down every day, man. I hear voices every day. Come down. This one's practicing the piano. This one's sitting at the table doing school. That one's texting. And I'll come down, and I got a window of time. Get them together. Get them together. Get them together. And other voices, you're going to interrupt them, man. You're going to stop everything. She's just sat down with this, and that one's eating their breakfast. And I'll get it later. Sure you will. You won't never get it later. Later turn into a lifetime. About the choices. About the voices. One's going to feed the flesh. One's going to starve the spirit. One's going to feel better in the short one, feel worse in the long run. One's going to be hard at first. One's going to be easy after. We're talking about scenarios every day. If we can get in this Bible, hear the voice of God. Listen. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I was talking to one of the saints the other day. This example how this happens. I was talking to one of the saints just Friday. And we were talking about how do you draw a line in the balance of honoring thy father and mother and not making idols out of them. Not become disobedient to Scripture. Not whatever, forsake the assembling of ourselves for the family picnic or I got to take care of mom and dad so I'll go to a liberal church or whatever it might be. There's a thousand things. And I'm the one trying to help this person out a little bit and talking about some things, and there's a fine balance and we got to trust God. And within the hour, I went to visit my dad. We're getting real close in his old age. I regret not doing that sooner. But getting ready to go, he says, why don't you let me get you a fish fry? No, every Friday he goes to this place. This fish fry is unbelievable. Coated French fries, the big ones. And just beautiful, beautiful. Only in this region could you get that. You go to Florida and ask for a fish fry, they give you muddy catfish. They don't know what a fish fry is. So I had to get a pot because I had brought him some soup. He's in the car. He's getting ready to go down there. He picks one up. They split one and come home. He goes, come on, why don't you let me get you a fish fry? You could take it home with you. And I thought, boy, my wife would really like that. See, I did, really. God's my witness. I thought of my wife, how happy she would be to not eat that nasty old soup I made the day before and just see me come in with a fish fry and coated fries. So we go to this place. I'd never been in the place. I've heard a lot about it. And it was basically, it was a beer joint with a restaurant. Dark. And I'm not afraid of beer joints. I got my scripture jacket on. It has the gospel right on the back, just in case. They get me on YouTube, I'll say, right there, baby, right there. He goes to the bar. He orders two fish fries to go and a glass of black beer. And he says, you can go wait over there. He goes, you want anything?
No. I don't even want a glass of Coke, man. They'll have me on that camera. I'll be on YouTube and it'll be over.
He comes and brings a beer, sits down, and I'm telling you, there was no malice. There was no ill intention. He sits down and he said, now before you say, well, that's an easy one, just hear me out. I'm trying to win this man for 30 years. I had witnessed to him just prior. We were talking about, you guys don't believe in the saints. I said, why would you go to Tony Verna to ask Ralph Taliento to give you a raise? Go right to Ralph Taliento. You don't have to pray to the saint. Oh, I see where you're going on that. Yeah, so we're really doing good here. That's huge, Kathy, you know. He sits down, Dylan, and he goes, I just want you to taste this. Because to him, it was so good. And let me tell you what happened in 15 seconds. Tim, I'm going to, can we go slow motion? My first thought, 15, not even 15, 10 seconds, Jerry, I'm slowing the clock way down. I'm going to expand what I'm thinking. First thing, I almost just reached for it, and I didn't even think about it. It's my dad. Then that conversation that I was having with one of the saints about our parents, this all happened in 2-3 seconds. Our parents and making idols. And then the words come out of his mouth, it's not a sin, is it? And then this thought came to my mind. Man, if I just witnessed to him over there, certainly I could have the courage enough. See, y'all don't have lost parents. Hard-headed Italian lost parents. You're 55. Yeah, he's 80, and he knocked me out with one punch. He says it's not a sin, is it? And again, I'm slowing motion down, and I'm thinking, I go, no, Dad, it's not a sin. I said, but it ain't touched my lips in 28 and a half years, and I really don't want this to be the first day. Okay. What did I do? I got out in the car. Well, the first thing I did was got out of that car and ripped that fish fry open, ate half of it. You cannot have a cell phone when you drive, but nothing says you can't have a fish fry in your hand, amen? How long has it been since you had a drink? 28 years. I got home, I called my spiritual father. Be proud of me. I got to tell somebody what happened. What are you saying? Voices and choices. I said they would have had me on YouTube. Somebody. Look at them. Taking that. Put slow motion. It would have been on CNN, Fox, NBC. So you get out of bed and you hear the voices. Or no, you're in bed, you hear the voices and you make the right choice. And you open up a book and it says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. I'm that shield in exceeding great roar. And you get up and you're rebuking the devil and you're slapping the flesh and you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. And then you hear voices.
It's mine. No, it's mine.
One minute you're going to be the next Duggar family. The next day you're going to be ones that drive them off in the car into the lake. You can't do this. They're going to drive you crazy. That's what our life is, brethren. And the one we respond to, and the one we listen to, yeah, you're laughing because the funniest stuff is what's true. I'd marry you if I could get away with it. Time for church, the voice calls. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, Thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of God, within the house of God, which is the church of God. On this rock I'll build my church. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. I like this verse right here. I found this verse. It said, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servants pass on before us, and he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Then that's the one voice. And then the other voice says, those roads are pretty bad out there. Is that a runny nose you have, Junior? No, that's because you just spanked me because I was fussing with my sister. Oh, we can't go. That live stream and that hot tea is looking real good. Man, that percolator and that coffee and that heating blanket. And listen, if you're homesick, stay homesick. But some of you just may be spiritually sick. I want you to recognize the voice next time it's you. Look it, you couple the word with the preacher, with the spirit, and something special where two or three are gathered, there will I be in the midst. And all hell, all the devil, all the flesh, all the friends in this world, don't do it! He don't want you here. Then you finally win that battle, and you get here. The voices will come at the strangest times. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess something to you. And you say, you're going to talk about this subject after last week? Oh, yeah. I never had so much feedback, so many people talking about church for days. I said, Lord, this should happen more often. Let's try it again this week. Don't talk to them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You know what happens to me this time of year? I know what happens to none of you when I walk by that offering box. I hear this voice, still small voice, say, you know you ought to be tithing off that child tax credit. And then this other voice says, you know, this would get you out of the, what is it when you're under red? This would get you out of the red. You know, you could really make that repair. You could really get those tires. You could really. It's always something. Go to the altar. Get it right with that person. No. And you know what happens, brethren? Days turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years. And you look back at your life and all it was daily is not real difficult. Voices and choices. Let's stand. I think, boy, if I would have thought of this earlier, I would have looked it up. But I think it says in Revelation, I heard a voice as a trumpet saying, come up hither. One time, no choices. One time there's going to be a voice, if you're saved, that's going to call you out and there'll be no more choice. And if you're here and you're playing church and you're playing religion and you're not saved, there's going to be another voice that says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew. Go to that altar. Go to that person. May you want to die without making the right choice. Maybe you used to respond. Maybe at one time I'm looking forward to St. Patrick's Day. Man, I was on fire last summer. I'm cold. I don't want to leave the house. Crank that coal stove up. Come if he's called you to come.